Talking now about science, science research and education with Bassam Shakashiri, UW-Madison Professor of Chemistry, William T. Evu Distinguished Chair for the Wisconsin IDEA. He directs the Initiative for Science Literacy here in the state. We're really pleased to have him in again to talk with us about where we get off into a whole variety of things. And don't we, Bassam, when we get going here?
It's always exciting for me to be on your show, Larry, and I get so many follow-up calls. In person, on the telephone, and on email. So
lots of email. And this is kind of a special year again for you. You got another anniversary you're celebrating?
Yes. Tomorrow is the 51st anniversary of my arrival in the United States from my native Lebanon. I am truly thrilled that I am a U.S. citizen. I became a U.S. citizen right here in Madison. Madison is my hometown now. And I think I may have told you this before, but I traveled rather widely, not only domestically but overseas. And every time I come back to the United States from overseas travel, I go down on my knees and give thanks for being in the United States. You know, this is really the greatest society in the history of humankind. It's not a perfect society, but it is truly a privilege for me to be a U.S. citizen. And I'm also starting my 39th year as a faculty member at UW-Madison, which is, again, a tribute to the wonderful hospitality of the people of Wisconsin and so many other people. So, yes, tomorrow is a very special day for me, and anniversaries are occasions to reflect, to not only think about the past, but think about what we must do next in order to preserve the wonderful community that we belong to and to advance the learning of not only science, but learning in general. So thank you for mentioning that, Larry.
Well, I tell you, and as we think about science and science education, we hear stories, sometimes they're not good stories, about the fact that we may be being left behind and not doing as much or are in the way of education about science?
Well, science is a human endeavor. It knows no geographic boundaries. Yet our nation has been extremely generous in promoting research in science and in technology. In fact, science and technology are the engines that drive our economy. We need to be thinking about our economy today, considering what's happening on Wall Street. We need to be thinking about that all the time. But science and technology are essential to the well-being of society, and that's why it is important for us to encourage people to pursue careers in science and to encourage the rest of the population that chooses not to pursue those careers to develop an appreciation of what science is, what it can do, what its limitations are. And it's very, very important that we do that. I only wish that the presidential debates and other election candidates would address some of these issues.
I was wondering what you thought about it. Are the candidates paying enough attention to science issues?
Well, they're beginning to. In fact, there's something new this year in the presidential campaign. A group of individuals and scientific organizations have organized what's called a presidential debate 2008 on science and technology. And just yesterday, they launched a website with the responses of of Senator McCain and Senator Obama to 14 critical questions. These questions deal with science and technology. That's the focus. And the questions include innovation. What would you do as president to improve innovation, which is really the key to advancing science and technology? What about climate change issues? What about energy needs and energy developing alternative energy sources? What about education? So they asked 14 questions that have been culled from over several thousand questions that have been suggested. And I think this is a fairly good start to have the two major candidates for the presidency of the United States address publicly issues of concern to the well-being of our society, issues that relate to science and technology. Now, the expectation is not that they would debate the merits of scientific projects or debate scientific theories. That's not what the issue is. The issue is to really be concerned about the quality of science research, the quality of science education that would help us not only maintain our preeminence as a learned society, but help other societies around the globe become equally learned in terms of appreciating what science and technology can do to advance the human condition, and also learn how we can deal successfully with dire consequences of advances in science and technology. That is, there's very serious issues that face us now, and I think this is a good thing. And I'd like to give the website for this.
Yeah, please do.
If I may. It is one word, Science Debate 2008. So sciencedebate2008.com. That's where the full answers to the 14 questions that have been given to Senator Obama and Senator McCain. And I think it's a very good start.
Have they responded yet?
Or? Oh, yes, yes.
Their
full responses are given there.
So sciencedebate2008.com.
That's it.
Okay. I want to take a look at that myself. I didn't know about that one, and I'm glad to know about it. And if you have a question, we're talking science, science research, science education with our guest, Bassam Shah Kashiri. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. John in the town of Dunn is up with a question or comment. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I'm not sure if Sam is pardon me if I address you by Sam. Is that okay?
That's okay. You can, and I'll tell you how it's pronounced. It's Bassam, B-A-S-S-A-M. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you care to answer if you can? The question's been bugging me for quite a while. And when you, I know that there's a lot of natural oils and fish that are essential, are really good for people. But I can't afford the fresh fish. When I go to the store and I buy the canned fish, it always is packed in water, and I'm wondering, are all the good oils out of that by the time it gets canned?
I don't believe so, but no. That's a question that a dietitian or a nutritionist can answer with more authority than I can. But I would say the answer is no. There must be some effect on it, but oil and water are not very miscible. They don't mix with each other very well. So I think the direct answer to your question is no.
No, there you have not lost all of the nutrients. In fact, in some cases, I think nutrients can be lost in some products, at least certainly like vegetables, for example, can be lost over time.
Yes.
So,
yes.
If fresh ones, if they're not really fresh, might not be as good as frozen or canned. So there you have that, John. Thank you very much for calling. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234 and email us at talk@wpr.org. And we'll take some more calls. Let's go next to Nina and talk with Steele. Nina or Steele, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, I think it's fantastic about the Science Debate 2008, but they've been asking all of the candidates, even before we had our final candidates running for president, to comment on this, and no one has for 8 months. And one time they thought they were going to get somebody, but Hillary and Obama just decided to talk about and rally. But anyway, kudos for Science Debate 2008, but everyone sure is gun-shy to talk about it.
I think it's important that we take advantage of this development. Now, this is actually happening. Sometimes it takes a while for our leaders to listen to us, and they seem to be reacting now. I'm not endorsing the answers that they have given. I'm just saying that this is really a good start to engage all of us in a public debate, a public discussion about issues that face us, issues related to energy, space exploration. You know, should we be supporting using federal taxes to support human beings being launched into space, or should we use unmanned space vehicles? Issues that relate to national security, issues that relate to scientific integrity, a whole slew of issues that I think the candidates are beginning to address. And I only wish that local candidates would also get into this discussion. That is, people at the local level, at the state level. I mean, we're electing a new House of Representatives. What are their views on some of these issues? Where do they stand on stem cell research? What do they say about research that has to do with genetics? What about climate control? What about the state regulations and federal regulations that relate to issues that are scientific and technological in nature? That's why I think it's very important to take advantage of this.
And thank you very much for calling, Steele. Appreciate your call. You know, going back to this business about our preeminence or not, the RAND Corporation had a report that says we still lead the world in science and technology. And then we had an emeritus professor of history, Roger Hollingsworth, who suggests that the sun is beginning to set a bit on our scientific dominance. Contradictory reports, for sure.
Well, it's important to discuss what is meant by dominance. And it's just true that we have been dominant in leading the world in scientific and technological advances, discoveries made here in the United States by scientists, many of them foreign-born. We have been a magnet for talent coming from all over the world. Well, now we have succeeded in educating not only our own students, but students from abroad, and they have gone back to their native countries, and they are engaged in scientific research, and therefore they are beginning to catch up with us.
And we can talk some more about that, and certainly we'll take your questions about science and science education with our guest Bassam Shakashiri here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking science education, science research, and inquiring minds with Bassam Shakashiri, UW-Madison Professor of Chemistry, William T. Evue Distinguished Chair for the Wisconsin IDEA. I'm Larry Mueller. Happy to have you listening in. If you have a question about science or education or funding or anything along those lines, we hope you join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And some callers online, so let's go right to the phones. Peter in Wisconsin Dells, I believe, is up. So let's go to Peter. Hi, Peter. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I'd like the doctor to just please tell me where in the U.S. Constitution the federal government is allowed to appropriate any funds for any scientific research whatsoever. I've read the Constitution. I've been unable to find it anywhere. So could you please just tell me where I can find that?
I don't think the Constitution addresses supporting research in science or research in any area. I think it is part of the responsibility of the federal government to address issues that deal with the national security of our country, issues that deal with our economic well-being. And this is where science gets in the picture because, as I said earlier, and I really like to repeat this because I firmly believe it, science and technology are the engines that drive our economy. Advances in science and technology lead to the betterment of humankind. They can also lead to bad things that people do. But that's my response to your question. I think the federal government does a lot of things for the people of the United States that are not specifically mentioned in the Constitution. The Constitution is an enabling document that allows us to do things for the well-being of our citizens and for the well-being of our country.
I agree with you. Most of the most wonderful contributions to science have come out of the free market. Let's look at the diesel engine. Let's look at advances in agriculture. Microchip technology was invented at Texas Instruments about 50 years ago. Now, these were free market-driven things that have improved our lives vastly. And that's why we're supposed to have a limited government that stays out of that. And I think, and I don't mean any offense by this, I think you're representing, defending where you guys exist in your world, where you depend on grants and money from the government to spend money on this research. But the best ideas, I believe, come out of the free market.
Well, Peter, I appreciate your candidness, and let me be equally candid. We don't depend on grants from the federal government. We pursue questions that are of interest to us, and the results of the research that we do can have potential benefit to society. It is true that we receive support from the federal government. It is true that we receive support from private foundations. It is true that the citizens of the United States continue to be generous in supporting the efforts that we undertake in science and in technology. I'm a strong advocate of the free market. I said earlier that, you know, we have preeminence all over the world in terms of what we do in science and technology. Why? Because we live in a free society, because the free market allows us to do this, because corporations like DuPont and others, I don't want to single anyone out here, Intel, any corporation, any pharmaceutical, they do basic research that is not supported by the federal government. Well, you might say, well, sometimes they get a tax write-off, so they are supported in part. Yes, this is how society works at its best. And that's what we should do. We as citizens should do to maintain this form of government and to make it even better.
Thank you very much for calling, Peter. I appreciate your call. I want to get some others a chance to get on here. Dick in Middleton is up next, so let's go there. Dick, hello.
Right. Hi there. I'm wondering how your program to engage the candidates in a discussion of science would go about engaging a creationist in this discussion. It's my understanding that one of the vice presidential nominees, who would be a heartbeat away from the presidency were they to be elected, that ticket to be elected, is in fact a creationist, which, if you'll pardon my saying so, seems to me to fly in the face of scientific inquiry. And I'm wondering how scientists would go about working with such a president.
I think you point to a very important issue that has to be addressed in this campaign and beyond. The some people say, as you probably are suggesting, and I don't agree with this, but let me say what I think you're suggesting, that there's a conflict between science and religion. I don't think there is a conflict. I think they deal with different domains. The conflict begins when one domain starts to interfere with the other domain. And so you are correct in saying that the presidential candidates, the vice presidential candidates, all candidates for elected office should become part of a dialogue, of a conversation about issues that relate to the well-being of our society. Now, if personal beliefs enter into the picture, then we as the electorate have to make a decision as to whether or not we want to vote for that person. This is the democratic process. We have to make it work. I think the issue of creationism is one that we have to face. It is not a conflict between science and religion. I think, again, they are two different domains. They deal with very significant human concerns and fulfillment, and as such, they should be dealt with in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question would be, do you feel like these should be proper topics in the public arena of debate, for example, on television, on radio, in interviews?
Of course, Dick.
As far as I know, the subject has not been raised.
Well, let's raise it. You know, we live in a free country. We enjoy freedom of speech. Let's raise that issue. Let's make sure that the candidates that we want to elect to public office are responding to the needs and the concerns of the electorate. And if this is a genuine concern, then I think it should be brought forward. So by all means, and you know, you can go to that website that I indicated before. I think Larry has it. He'll give it to you again in a second. and suggest this as another set of questions, that to be part of another set of questions that will be given to the candidates. This is not only a matter of raising these issues during the election. This is a matter of sustained interest to our society, and we need the candidates, the ones who get elected, to be dealing with them after they get elected, too. Mm-hmm. So by all means, Dick, go for it.
And thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Brian in Sheboygan is up next. Hi, Brian.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What can we do for you?
I had a question, and I guess I have to give you a little context before I ask it. But anyway, I'm an engineer, and I've always looked at engineers and scientists as like the intellectual factories, if you will, of different countries. And we all know, you know, emerging markets overseas, you know, India and China, just population-wise, have huge amounts more people. And so I was wondering if you had any statistics or so to show, you know, that the difference between countries, like as far as how many engineers are produced every year or scientists produced every year, and if that's changed over the years, or is America becoming not as strong as they used to be?
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's a good question, Brian, and I can tell you that there are groups and think tanks and federal agencies that study this very same question that you raised. The National Science Foundation, which is a federal agency, compiles statistics of the type that you're asking for. And I will put a link. So all you have to do is go to the nsf.gov, and look for the kinds of information that you're asking about. I will put a direct link on my website after the program, as I normally do, Larry. You know that.
Sure.
For helping people who want to seek such information. Yes, there are statistics that indicate that other countries, China, India, European countries, as is often said, are catching up with us. In terms of our scientific prowess and the great versatility that we have in science and technology. And that can be helpful to us in the long run because global issues in the environment, global issues in agriculture are affected by what happens all over the globe, not only in the United States, not only in China, not only in India, not only in Europe. And because of this, I think it is important to be supportive of advances in science and technology around the globe. And we in the United States have demonstrated, not only to ourselves, but to everyone else, that with the proper focus on science and engineering, that can be done. And we have such an awesome responsibility to protect the planet that we live on, because pollution issues know no geographic boundaries, whether it is state boundaries or national boundaries. So we really have to be paying special attention to the upcoming advances in the science personnel in other countries. And that's what I think you're asking me about, Brian.
Yeah.
Yep, that does it.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And by the way, your website is www.scifun.org. And I believe Brian had asked about the other website with the science debate questions, and that's sciencedebate2008.com. You'll probably have that link up there on your website.
Yes, we'll have it prominently there.
All right. Let's go to Joshua in Eau Claire next. Joshua, hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As a child, when I was a bit younger, I'm 22 now, but as going through the elementary schools, middle schools, and high school, through science classes, which I really enjoyed immensely, dealing with nature was one of the main interests of mine. And through classes, I always had the understanding that science was there to preserve natural resources, to preserve wild spaces, so that these creatures that make up this world, in my opinion, this world is our protection, and that we're not protecting it, but we are destroying it. And some of this destruction, a lot of it comes from the advancement of technologies. that make our lives easier so then we can keep on consuming more and more goods. So one of my questions that I had for the gentleman on here today was, where does technology have any hope for us as humans being able to limit our amount of consumption when if we make more and more technologies and better technologies, then won't we be able to consume more and more goods, which mm-hmm. is kind of defeating the purpose of getting back to the land.
Okay.
I love your question, Joshua. I think you're concerned about a very important aspect of what science and technology are all about. So let me start by saying that science and technology are value neutral. We make advances in science, we make advances in technology, and then what happens next is that the people can use those advances for the betterment of society or for the destruction of society. So science gives us new knowledge, new insight. Technology gives us new products, new ways of dealing with societal problems. Most of the ways can be beneficial to society, but some other ways can be harmful to society. So in the Industrial Revolution, for example, science told us that we can use oil and we can use as a source of energy. And it is our lives today depend on that. Mm-hmm. But now with further advances in science, we learn that the oil that we burn produces a greenhouse gas, carbon dioxide, that is detrimental to society. We learn that many products that we enjoy on a daily basis have potentially adverse effect on the environment. So you're right. Science gives us the knowledge. And then it's really up to us, both as individuals and as groups collectively, to make proper decisions about the way in which you use the results of science. The example that I really like to give in this connection, I've given it on your program before, mm-hmm. Larry. Technology led to the invention of the gun. We can't disinvent the gun. The real question is, what do we do if we have a gun? And when do we use it or not use it? So these are aspects of decision-making that human beings, individually and collectively, have to make. They are not related to the advancement in science per se. Does that address some of your concerns, Josh?
Yes, it does briefly. But I still get a little scared and shake my fist at advancing more and more of these technologies because I think it creates an illusion in dominant society's mind that we are going to be fine as long as technologies advance, when it is our responsibility as creatures to evolve with climate and to understand our place in it so we are allowed to live in it, because this earth will keep on living no matter if we are here or not.
Well, some people would take it even further than what you just said. Some people are very concerned about destroying life as we know it on this planet because of advances in technology. And that's what, for example, the concerns about nuclear winter are about, mm-hmm. and other dire environmental effects. So you're absolutely right. People of all ages, not only 22-year-old, but older, should be thinking about our responsibility as custodians, as stewards of this community that we belong to. And by community, I mean our own local community, our state community, our national community, and the entire planet. We know more now than our ancestors knew about science, about the world, and we should be smart. We should be clever in how we use this knowledge for the betterment of ourselves and of our society.
And I thank you very much, Josh, for calling. I want to give others a chance to get on here. Lots of callers online. And I think Carl in Milwaukee's up next. Carl, hi to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. And hi, Bassam.
Hi.
I'm a retired chemical engineer, and I occasionally see your name in chemical and engineering news, and with good good associations. I'm a believer in evolution, And, one of the candidates in the current presidential campaign has a position advocating the teaching of intelligent design alongside evolution in public schools. And I think that intelligent design is a matter of faith and not a matter of science. And I'm wondering how you would suggest responding to a person who asserts that this should be taught in public schools.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you, Carl, for, again, bringing this point back into our discussion here. Intelligent design does not belong in a science course.
Mm-hmm.
That's as clear as I can be about this. It is not part of science. If a school board would like to have in the curriculum a course or something dealing with intelligent design, that's up to that school board, up to the local people who elect that school board. But it should not be in a science course because it is not science. No matter what anyone says about it, how carefully they are in couching it and packaging it, intelligent design is not part of science. And I don't know how else I can be clearer on this, Carl. I think we should be engaging in such conversations that as we're doing right now, and as we do with other people who differ from our position. I think we should be respectful of them as human beings. We should have respect as a critical ingredient in the conversations and the debates that we have about such issues. I'm not saying respect the viewpoint that they have, mm-hmm. But respect them as fellow human beings who are entitled to expressing their views and expressing their positions. And I think the element of respect is missing from all kinds of conversations, debates, arguments, votes on creationism, intelligent design, and evolution. I call upon all of us, no matter what your belief is, if you want to discuss these issues, please be respectful of the people that you are having this conversation with.
Mm-hmm. Yes. a further point. As you were talking just a couple of minutes ago with a caller, our application, our discussion about science policy is the biggest question facing us now. It's not we have all kinds of amazing technologies that can do wondrous things, but how we apply them is the question for the world ahead of us.
And that's what we should be focusing on. What is it that we want to do with these new advances? Just think about what goes on in a hospital in an emergency situation. Just think about the imaging techniques that are available to physicians and medical staff to do non-invasive diagnosis. All of these are the results of science and technology. Think about advances in transportation, in housing, in agriculture. All of these are advances that are the result of science and technology. And that's what we should be thinking about so that we all exercise good judgment. We all exercise good judgment about very important human issues that deal with our well-being as individuals and as a society.
And I thank you, Carl, very much for calling. I appreciate your call. And Bassam, I know that on your website, scifun.org, scifun.org, you're going to have some information about the things that we've discussed today. But I also wanted to mention, just on another note, that it's only September, but once upon a Christmas cheery in the land of Shaka Shiri, the great chemistry, Christmas chemistry program is up there as well already.
It's coming up in December, the first weekend in December, and free tickets are available upon request. We do the program four times, the first weekend in December, and we use tickets to control the size of the crowd. We don't want someone to show up and not get a seat, so you can ask for a free ticket. by going to their website, scifund.org. We have that information there. Just click on the holiday lecture. It gives you the dates and how you can get tickets and so on. And, you know, this is the 39th anniversary of the Christmas lecture. So I'm really excited about it.
Thank you very much, Bassam. Appreciate it very much. Look forward to your next visit.
Thank you, Larry.
Bassam Shakashiri, UW-Madison Professor of Chemistry, and William T. Abu, Distinguished Chair for the Wisconsin IDEA. Go to his website. He'll have more things posted for you. www.scifun.org. It's a great website. It's got lots of information other than what we've talked about today, believe me. Some great experiments you can do at home and lots of other things. And thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.